This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here. 49ers Plus Minus on a Sunday morning, not long after the 49ers wrapped up a very long preseason. There's still 2+ weeks left before the regular season opener, September 7th in Seattle. But some things have been settled. Matt Barris, my co-host, from a company I dare not name. Oh, it's The Athletic. I do dare name it. What things were settled by this pretty sludgy game that the 49ers scored some points late? Obviously helped by a lot of Chargers turnovers. But the preseason kind of over. Definitely
yes,
over.
Yes, thank God. Yeah. And by the way, that was a terrible game that lasted 3 hours and 20 minutes.
The first quarter was like 45 minutes. It was unbelievable.
It was the preseasonest of preseason games. I mean, it was quintessential preseason. And it was a weird preseason game where it seemed to get a little bit more interesting as the game went on. Like the first quarter was just terrible. Anyway.
I had to sit next to this guy complaining about it.
I mean, it was just so bad. I mean, why are they playing this game? Why are they playing it?
They've trashed the preseason. Coaches don't care about the preseason anymore. They just don't, and it's obvious. But it is game action for the guys trying to win the last spots on the roster. That's where it's important. We've been talking about some of these last spots. I think there is some clarity. Not total clarity, but the cutdown day is Tuesday. I bet you the 49ers start making cuts maybe tonight or tomorrow. Then we'll get all of them on Tuesday, and then we'll get the moves after that. Clearly, there will be other moves after that. Guys might make the 53 and then go on IR or go on IR, and then they have to sign other guys. Give me a few things that you think were settled by last night's action.
Well, I thought it was a valuable game for Sky Moore because he's new to the 49ers and was getting kind of mixed into the mix. You know, he came out with a lot of energy. I watched him come out of the tunnel and warm up on punt returns. He was leading that group. You could just kind of feel his excitement to be here, to be out of Kansas City, where obviously it didn't work out for him. After the game, he described it as a fresh start. And so, you know, he ended up playing 27 snaps, and he admitted he was lost on some of the snaps. He came in on Thursday and basically was warming up for half of the practice and then got in. So he got half a practice before Saturday's game, still managed to place 27 snaps on offense, and then was the primary punt returner and looked really comfortable there. And that's in sharp contrast to Junior Bergen, who had just a bad whiff on a punt, lost it on a muff. So, I mean, and we didn't think that Junior Bergen was going to make the team anyway. And I think that this confirms it. And you can sort of see what they have in mind for Sky Moore offensively. he's going to be their, certainly early on, he's going to be their gadget guy. That would have been Jacob Cowing. That's been Deebo Samuel in the past. Cowing is now out for at least 6 weeks with a bad hamstring. I think that he's a really good candidate for IR designated to return. Maybe him and Kevin Givens are. But yeah, I thought Sky Moore was sort of the story of the game, maybe not after the game, but during the game. And then, you know, a couple of the rookies stood out to me. Nick Martin, he looked really good. He's gotten better and better as the game's gone on. I asked him after the game, how much strong side linebacker have you been playing? And he said, barely any. He's been concentrating on weak side only. So that to me kind of, I think that's a big deal only because they're playing the Seahawks in week one. Seahawks are going to run the ball a lot. They're going to be in that base package a lot. The strong side linebacker is going to be on the field. You know, I think that he starts to get snaps at strong side, but I think early in the season, it'll probably go to Luke Gibson.
Luke Gibson.
Luke, okay. Luke Farrell's the tight end. Luke Gibson's the linebacker. It's all the two Lukes.
Lukes, many Lukes. Absolutely. You can see this is kind of how they did Greenlaw, right? You know, you play him at both outside spots as a backup, so you can get in either way, and then you move your way up to being the strong side, or you move up to be the every down Will. You can kind of see that. And I thought Nick Martin looked good. He was running around. He's certainly the run and hit guy, as they always say, but you know, run and hit with some stability. So you're not just overrunning everything, over chasing everything. Guy's got some talent. There's no question. I mean, he's looked scattered at times, but clearly he's a talent. They're going to keep like giving him more and more things to do and kind of being the backup over there. Luke Gifford, not Gibson, Gifford. Come on,
Gifford.
Barrow.
Yes,
yeah, I knew you. I knew Gibson sounded wrong. Luke Gifford.
I had Travis Gibson on my mind because he looked good. He's number 56.
He looked good last week too. Like
he
gets off the ball. He gets off the snap. You see 56 kind of moving faster than other people. Perhaps other than some other 49er defensive linemen. Maybe we'll talk about that. But if there's a wild card defensive lineman, I think Gibson is it. It is not Luke Gibson. It is, what's his name, Gibson?
Luke Gifford.
No, Luke Gifford, but who's the Gibson's first name?
Travis.
There you go, Travis Gibson. Absolutely. I thought the signing of Sky Moore, by the way, was a bad sign for, we both did, for Junior Bergen. I think this just ends it. Now, whether Bergen comes back on a practice squad deal or not, maybe he does. I think he was drafted in order to be someone they looked at, but he's just clearly not going to help the team this year, and certainly not more than Sky Moore likely will be. I thought Jeff Wilson looked good again. I don't know if he's going to make the team. He is a guy that could cut and then have him on a practice squad and bring him up if they need him on game day. So maybe not, but I think he looked better than Garendo. I know Garendo's been out a lot, and I know they've invested a lot in Garendo. I just would watch that one because if they're not sure Brian Robinson is, you know, going to be up to speed for week one, he probably will. Running backs tend to get in there fast. I'm not sure they can count on Garendo. I think they're going to be worried he fumbles and in pass protection. And Jeff Wilson Jr. has done that for them. So I would just watch that. Well, let's see how the next few days and in weeks go there. But I think Jeff Wilson looks fine. And I think they brought Brian Robinson Jr. in because there were some questions about Garendo. I said it at the time. So we shall see there. You got anything, any other interesting? It looks like Connor Colby's a starting guard, right? As long as Pooney's out, Connor Colby's going to start at right guard. That's what it seems like to me. They're not even really looking at Zakel there because Zakel was playing left guard for Ben Bartsch, and Bartsch is presumably a lot closer to coming back than Pooney. I think they are thinking that Bartsch is almost for sure going to be there week one. Connor Colby, starting right guard if Pooney can't, and I assume Pooney can't make it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't decide whether they're grooming Connor Colby for that role or just trying to get him as many snaps as possible at that spot. I mean, he came out looking good again. Was better in run blocking than he was pass blocking. He's been solid. I mean, he's looked like the 2025 Dominic Pooney. I need to, before we get off of Brian Robinson and the running backs. I need to concede a point to Tim Kawakami in the long lasting ever presence Matt Barrows versus Tim Kawakami competition, which I was up 1-0 because I predicted that Moody would be the kicker to start the season.
Yes, okay. Yes, that's a big one.
I'm not proud of that, but Tim gets a point because Shanahan did say, like, right off the bat that Brian Robinson is going to be our two back. It's not up for debate. So it looks like they've got a plan for him. He said that, you know, they've loved Brian Robinson for a long time. They didn't love him enough to take him over. Who'd they take in the third round that year?
Ty Davis Price.
Yeah. Ty Davis Price was taken several picks ahead of Brian Robinson. So a little bit of revisionist history here. Competitions that were going on in this game. You know, you could have argued that there was a Chase Lucas versus Jacob Robinson competition for that fifth cornerback spot. Jacob Robinson broke his forearm at the very end of the game. So I think that that's good news for Chase Lucas in making the 53-man squad. He was on the practice squad last year. He's very popular in the locker room. He probably was going to win it anyway, but this sort of seals it. And then this one I feel is too close to call. The last linebacker on the team, Chaz Surratt or Curtis Robinson. I mean, Chaz Surratt had 10 tackles in the first half yesterday. And then Curtis Robinson has the pick six. And Curtis Robinson looks good physically. Long, fast. Both of these guys are special teamers. Maybe both of them make it. To me, I don't have an obvious winner there. Tariq Owens caught a touchdown. He was PFF's highest-rated offensive player. I don't think he makes the 53-man roster. My question is whether he spends another year on the practice squad or not. And I would say the answer is yes for that, unless they just are scouring the list of cut guys on Tuesday and they just kind of bring in a whole slew of receivers. I don't know. We talked about Trevis Gibson. I was under the impression just at a glance that he was sort of new to the NFL and, just kind of finding his way. He's been in the league since 2020. He was a fifth round pick. He was kind of, sloughed off as a late bloomer, somebody who was really raw coming into the NFL. So maybe, you know, all of the skills that he had are starting to come together here. I think it's he's got a chance to slide onto the roster spot. I mean, to me, it's between him, Sam Okwuanu, and then Robert Beal Jr., who I don't think has done very much at all this summer. So maybe between Sam O and this guy, Trevis Gibson.
Yeah, I think one good thing that Gibson's being helped out, he's so fast off the line, but he's usually been playing next to Alfred Collins, who, among many things he probably does well, getting off the snap is not one of them. He was better last night, I think. He was better than he was in week two. In week two, he was way better than he was in week one because that was a struggle for him. It would make sense. He is certainly a young player. He's got an interesting body type. NFL defensive tackles don't normally look like him, but he is not fast off the snap. And 56 Gibson is very quick off the snap. So it really jumps out too. I don't know if you do need extra defensive ends, but I could see him being a practice squad guy that they are looking to elevate, you know, four or five times this season. Just knowing the defensive ends get hurt, not knowing if Mykal Williams, where is he going to be? Week one. My God, thank God they got Bryce Huff for their sakes because the guy plays downs. They know they can count on him. And obviously, you know, I don't want to jinx it for him, but who could get hurt at any other day. But if they'd have Bryce Huff, Barrows, I don't know what they'd be looking at defensive end right now. They might need another one on the waiver wire. We'll see what they feel. I'll add on the Brian Robinson. I did notice that in the Shanahan presser. I went to Harbaugh, the Chargers, so I did not go to Shanahan. I saw that in the transcript. I went, interesting.
I was so glad you weren't there. So
yeah,
glad.
Interesting. you don't trade, even if it was a flop of picks, whatever, you don't trade for a running back and make him your RB3. That's my general thing. That you pick one of those guys off the waiver wire to trade something, and you know, picks, six round picks mean something. You got to feel like he's going to be your main backup. I really felt that. And I don't think Arendo's been very good. He's been hurt again. So we shall see. And on there's one last spot, Barros, you know, maybe not if they go 10 defensive line, but if they go 9, which is kind of traditional, that really could be whether they keep a fourth defensive tackle or not. Assuming, you know, it's going to be C.J. West, Kalia Davis, Alfred Collins, and there's one other. I guess four, yeah. Is it going to be
Jordan Elliott?
Jordan Elliott, yeah. So is it going to be 5? Is it going to be Sebastian Valdez or Evan Anderson? Evan Anderson, your guy, has not been as flashy this preseason. He certainly has been in the past. I think Valdez has just looked better. Now, neither one of them is a super, you know, high skill, high athlete, all those things. They're undrafted free agents, kind of fight their way on. Do you think they're going to keep both? Could they keep both? Or it's one or the other, and who do they pick between those two?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I predicted that they keep both, or Vic Tafer and I, when we did our 53-man projection. And I think that's because Yetur Gross-Matos might end up being on an injury list to start the season. So you could keep him in reserve later on. But I agree with you. I mean, I totally concede that. And this has been happening since, you know, jump as far as camp. Sebastian Valdez has looked really good. He's very active. He's strong. He's in excellent shape. He's made it through all of these practices. I mean, that in 2025 training camp history, if you made it through all of the practices, you are already unique.
Yes.
I just don't see how they can think that they could cut him and get him onto the practice squad because he's shown up. I mean, he looks good on tape. And so any team that's looking for additions to their defensive line will have him circled. So I don't see how they could. The question is whether if they cut Evan Anderson, whether they could get him onto the practice squad. So that might be a better possibility if they decide to keep nine, or if they decide to keep an extra defensive end at the cost of an extra defensive tackle. Shouldn't add that Mykel Williams is expected to be back in practice this coming week. The knee injury that Kyle Shanahan initially sloughed off as being just a weak deal, that occurred during the joint practice with the Broncos 3 weeks ago, or 2.5 weeks ago. So it's been more problematic than what they suggested at first. The same thing with Upton Stout and his calf. He ended up being out a lot longer than the 49ers initially said. You're starting to see a little theme here. And then, you know, it's the mystery calf, and that might be a good segue into someone else who's dealing with a calf injury at the moment.
Yeah, and could cost someone else a roster spot, because they don't know if Juwan Jennings is going to practice or going to play week one. I think it's likely he plays week one. Kyle Shanahan is kind of going with that line more than, yes, there's an issue with his contract, which is helping him decide to skip practice. They're just saying they're expecting week one. I get it. It's a safe place for them to be. It's also kind of underlining, if you know the situation, that they expect Juwan to start practicing at some point. I've been saying this for 2 weeks. Like, this is going to be important for him to start practicing. And if he says it's his calf, okay, but then they can't count on him for week one. If they suspect that it's his calf plus his contract, they certainly can't count on him for week one. So if you keep him on the 53, then you have to kind of back yourself up with another receiver. And so maybe that's how Tariq Owens makes it. That's how they cross their fingers and keep Russell Gage on. However they do this, that is a huge roster allotment that might take away Sebastian Valdez's spot, right? Might take away some, Curtis Robinson's spot. These things have consequences. I think it's getting, I've been saying this for a while, and we all heard about the Juwan Jennings social media thing with Song talking about, you know, you're bleeping with the wrong guy, whatever that means. You know how much the 49ers love social media, passive aggressive stuff. They hate it. Hate it. The Ayuk things, three things that really piss them off about the Ayuk thing.
Let's put it on the list.
Social media stuff, they hated that. They don't want to deal with that. Two, the manufactured videos of him walking out on the field and bro hugging Shanahan. They were just blew their tops on that, are still mad about. And three, they had to pay him anyway. Those three things. They never want to duplicate that. Well, guess what? Now, Juwan's got a social media thing. We don't know what he's doing. It's become a bit of a drama, whether he practices or not. And three, they don't want to pay him. Like, I reported this. They do not want to pay him. They just redid his deal last year. If he's claiming, you know, whatever, if this is a standoff, and I believe it partly is, I believe the injury is mostly real, but it should be healing. I think that's where the Shanahan impatience is. Like, this should be healing. If it's not healing, then we've got to make a decision. If it's not, if you're saying it's not healing because you don't want to practice without a contract, then we got to know that too. Either it's going to come down Tuesday, might come down before that, might come down after that with some dramatic move. I'm saying, and I got to make some more calls. So I'm just speculating at this point. I might say more than this later. I think there's a chance that he is not on the roster week one. I don't think he's going to get cut or traded, though I'm not ruling that out. This is, again, speculation. Aggregate me. Don't aggregate me. But I think there's a chance he's put on injury reserve. His contract is heavily based on game bonuses. He's got to be on the roster to be getting this money. It's a lot of money. I think he's only guaranteed $3.4 million salary. Anything on top of that has to come from bonuses. If you put him on IR, he's not getting those bonuses. He's looking at possibly $4 million or more that he's not getting. I think it's even more than that. I don't know that the 49ers want to do that because he's a good player. He's their best receiver. They don't want to go, they want him for week one, week two, week three, week four. But I think in my mind, this is just me playing it out. Again, I might report other things, or I might report that I'm wrong. This is my speculation. I think it's coming down to you get on the field, or they could put him on injured reserve. That would be my speculation, because just think of the way Shanahan's talking about this. It's injury. It's injury. It's injury. We expect him back in one, but he's got to be on a practice field. If you're not back on a practice field, can they really count on him to do too much for week one after missing more than a month, by the way? You know, I don't think they can. in their minds. It's, remember the Ayuk thing? It was, they did test him at the end and said they was healthy right when the cut down to 53 happened. And John Lynch was like saying, he's got to practice. He's healthy. We got to go here. And that's when they cut to 53. I think they would have suspended Ayuk if he would not practice at that point. I really do. And would have thought about trading him, would have thought about just getting rid of him. That's how the brinksmanship had come. Now, they were a lot more mad at Ayuk than they are at Juwan. I think they understand there's some other factors. They like Juwan. He's just trying to push for his contract. They did the deal last year, though. There's a lot of hostility that they did this, and then he's coming back on them again. We'll see on this, Barros, but how do you read the next few days with the 49ers and Jennings?
I mean, it seems like a game of chicken right now, with both sides obviously entrenched. You know, from Jennings' point of view, like you noted, he's got to play to make his money. So being on IR is going to hurt that, obviously. I mean, I'm sure he would love a trade at this point. He wants, you know, his future taken care of. It would be a trade and then an understanding that the team that trades for him is going to sign him to a long-term deal. And the 49ers aren't the only team that are looking for wide receivers out there. There are a number. When I went and canvassed the other beat writers about, you know, who's got a good receiver that their team is going to cut, most of the responses I got were, oh, you know, my team is just as bad as your team in terms of depth. So, you know, the Giants, the Vikings, I don't know, you know, if trading him inside the conference is something that they want to do. The Dolphins don't have great depth beyond their first stars. He would be a nice compliment on that team, and would be playing for a head coach who used to be his offensive coordinator. So there's some that make sense. I mean, I would think that the 49ers would need something in return, though. They just don't have bodies at this position. So without Juwan Jennings, you're talking about going into the season without Brandon Ayuk, without DeMarcus Robinson, without Jacob Cowing, without Jordan Watkins. You know, who are your wideouts? Robbie Chosen and Russell Gage?
Ricky Pearsall.
Well, obviously Ricky Pearsall, yeah. But I mean, it's just such a light group. Now, I wonder whether, you know, this Brian Robinson trade is sort of a recognition that, okay, we have to kind of change the paradigm a little bit here. We're not going to be deep at wide receiver to begin the season, but we got this new, you know, big back. Our biggest free agency addition was a big blocking tight end. We have a fullback on this roster. Maybe they go old school. They go Cro-Magnon style and just play, you know, a different brand of football, which would actually be genius given the fact that, you know, linebackers these days are, you know, 218 pounds and defensive linemen are smaller. That you could just smash teams in the mouth for 60 minutes a game. That would be interesting. I don't think Kyle Shanahan's going to do that, but they have a little bit more options to lean on 12 personnel, two tight end personnel, 22 personnel with Kyle Juszczyk there, et cetera, et cetera. So it could be interesting in Seattle. It might be a 13-12 game up there in week one.
And though I made fun of it, you could see, you know, Brian Robinson Jr. and Christian McCaffrey in the backfield together, and you send one of them out, you know, in motion, usually would be McCaffrey, and then see what defenses do. Now, I don't think that's the optimal use in a Shanahan offense. I would want Christian McCaffrey running the ball and as a threat to also catch the ball, not just put him in and make him just a receiver. But if you talk about, you know, do you put Brian Robinson out on the field as your fifth eligible receiver, or do you put Tariq Owens out on the field as your fifth eligible receiver? I think I know what my decision would be. So maybe they have some things like that they could do at least early on until they're waiting for DeMarcus Robinson to come back and then for Brandon Ayuk. I just think it's in play that Juwan Jennings is not on this team in week one, and he might be coming back from injured reserve or whatever. I just think it's in play. That's all I'll say. And if you read what Shanahan, the words he's using and the words John Lynch are using, is they're saying the things that would get this, the nice and comfortable headline. They expect him back, but they're not saying the thing that would be definitive. The contract situation is settled. It's not about the contract. They are not saying that. So let's be aware of the next few days. And I'm going to make some calls. You're going to make some calls, I'm sure. And we're trying to get to the heart of this. But there's stuff going on. There's also stuff going on, as there always is, with the 49ers kicker, the one, the only, the great Jake Moody. I just thought last night was just typical Moody. You know, fans were going crazy again after he misses the extra point badly wide left. Didn't look great. Then he comes back and he makes field goals. I just think this is the way it's going to be. You're just never going to know. He's got the talent to make any field goal, and he's got the screw up to miss anything else. Also, kickoff out of bounds. I know that the cameras caught the coaches being upset about that. That is a bad mistake. I just think they're just kind of pot committed to this. Unlike any other position, which I keep saying, where Shanahan's tough on receivers, he's tough on running backs, he's tough on the quarterback. Defensive coaches are tough on whatever else, every position on defense. And yet Jake Moody, because he's talented, is just given the leeway to miss and then make. And once he makes, he's great. Everyone else, all the mistakes count and all the makes count. For Jake Moody, apparently only the makes count. And I think that's weird to hear Shanahan talk like that. But I just think it's because he just doesn't think of kickers and special teams as actual part of his football team. And I think that's a problem. It's like, he missed, but then he made. Well, both count. They don't seem to really work that way. I don't think he's going to get cut. I just think they're just decided that it's Jake Moody's their kicker. Then you're going to have to live with this. And if he misses two field goals at the end of the game, on the road somewhere in New Orleans in a week two or wherever it is, this is what they set up for them. They don't have a good kicker. They keep thinking that he will become a good kicker, and he's not a good kicker. He keeps proving that over and over again. And unlike any other position on this team, where everything is judged, everything counts, everything matters, for Jake Moody, only the makes seem to matter. And I think that's problematic.
That's a great point. I mean, and that was Shanahan's answer basically twice. After the game, when he's asked about special teams and he's asked about Moody, he said, he made a 59-yarder in Las Vegas a week ago. That's like the Jake Moody apex moment. But how long can you cite the second preseason game as the reason why he's sticking around? I was out there during warmups, and Jake Moody was struggling during warmups. He hit one so bad that it missed the net and went into the stands. And some little boy, probably 8 years old, thought that, he just like won the lottery. Like, this was a foul ball during batting practice, and he got to keep the ball. He runs up with it all the way to the very top of the first deck. And he's sitting with his family, and they're congratulating him on getting the ball. Meanwhile, they're looking for the ball on the field. There's only a few kicking balls that they have during pregame. The punters have one, the other kicker has one. So Jake Moody's left with only one ball with which to warm up with. Finally, they got the second ball back. My point being is that the pregame was as erratic as I've seen from him. That wasn't his only miss in pregame. And that was to the side that he missed the extra point. So I don't know what was going on. There were a bunch of people with Jake Moody jerseys on in the very first row, right behind the goalposts. I don't know if they were family members, but maybe they were. And maybe, having your mom watch your game was always the worst for me. I didn't want my mom there.
And you also were not a really good NFL kicker, Barrow.
I was terrible. Yeah. I was terrible, but I was a hell of a point guard in the city league in Vienna, Virginia, where I grew up. I once scored 36 points in one game. They're still talking about that game.
Jeez, wow. I mean, I'm sure you were on the college recruiting ranking.
I was not a passer. I was a shoot first, selfish player type of guy.
No shock to anybody who knows Matt Barris on this. Yeah, I guess they're going to have a practice on Monday. I can't imagine it's going to be a hard one. I don't know. You're assembling your roster at this point. You're thinking about your cuts. I'm not sure they're going to want to go through much of Monday and then return after the cut down on day on Tuesday for practices Wednesday and Thursday. There's going to be like real practices. I'm not even sure if there's an open in the media. I'm pretty sure they will not be, I think, Barros. I'm not sure if we heard that or not. But then the locker rooms will be open. So that's the other thing is they don't love opening the locker room. So sometimes they keep the practice open longer to make sure that we're kept out of the locker room. Cause I don't think they want us around Juwan Jennings. I'm pretty sure about that. So, we'll see how all that goes. Tuesday's a huge deal. They've got so many pieces in play. Dominic Pooney, that's a guy that they might have to be on the 53 who can't play week one. Mykel Williams could be a guy that they have to keep on the 53 who can't play week one. Upton Stout could be on the 53 who can't play week one. There are other players.
Jordan
Ben Bartsch, Jordan Watkins. Like you can't put them all on IR and you can't keep them all on the 53. That's the weird stuff that they've got. And I don't know. I threw this at you last night. I don't know if you've got a guess for this, but I'm going to say a guess for the most shocking cut on Tuesday. I do have a guess. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm saying if there is a surprise cut, if there is, who would I be thinking that surprise cut? And I guess that belies the surprise. But in a shocking development, who would it be? I'm saying Isaac Arendo. I know he's got a ton of talent. They traded to replace him. They literally traded to replace him. I think there is some question about his status on this roster. We saw him on special teams punt coverage last night. That tells you, like we talked about last week, the third running back or one of those running backs that has to play special teams. You cannot keep three tailbacks and have none of them play special teams. Christian McGavrie is not playing special teams, as we know. Brian Robinson Jr. likely not playing special teams. That third running back's got to play special teams. So we saw Garendo on that punt coverage. He did well. He like helped force a fumble. I think it's an indication of his slipping status on this roster. I think Jeff Wilson Jr. solves a lot of things for them. They know what he is. I'm not saying he's as talented as Garendo. I'm saying I'm watching for that one. I'm watching for that one because I think Isaac Arendo has kind of, in my opinion, has lost the faith of the coaching staff because we're seeing him move down the roster of the depth chart. And they just went out and got a guy that immediately has become RB2. And which I said last week that he's
RB2. You get a point. You said two or three. So
you were saying Garendo's two.
And I know. I'll
defer to you here and say maybe he'll be, but I should never defer to you. That is the point.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Do you have a surprise candidate or do you want to react to me saying it's Garendo?
Well, I'm going to react to you for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Yeah, my argument to that is that they have Jeff Wilson on the roster now in Brian Robinson. They have that sort of between the tackles guy. You know, I'm a huge Jeff Wilson advocate. I think he's great at what he does, but he doesn't have speed. Just not as dynamic as Isaac Rendo. So I still think Isaac Rendo makes it. I think that you can get out of those guys that we just mentioned, you can get Jeff Wilson, whom the 49ers signed off the street just a couple weeks ago, onto the practice squad fairly easily. But you're right. I mean, he runs hard. He's really good between the tackles. That's his bread and butter. I think that they should keep him in some way, shape, or form. Jordan James is a question mark. He's another one of these guys that could make the roster and not really be useful for you in week one. He was asked, Kyle Shanahan was asked about James and when he's going to come back. And, you know, it was like, you know, the maybe a week, he's week to week. So what does that mean? I mean, I don't think that you can put him in uniform for week one if that's the case. But, you know, I'll go as far as a shocking guy to get cut. It probably isn't going to happen just because of the injury situation. But I thought that Jair Brown, we saw him playing into the fourth quarter yesterday. You know, you would think that if someone is absolutely going to make this team and possibly start in week one, you have him either on the sideline watching the game, like all the other starters, or you just give him a quick game like Renardo Green got last night. So I do think that he makes it just because Richie Grant has been hurt, another guy that you just can't count on for week one, and it becomes a numbers game. But, yeah, I mean, that's somebody who I think the 49ers don't see as part of their future, was – drafted basically by a different defensive coordinator. So I don't know what they have in store for him.
Thought it was interesting that Shanahan picked the captains for this game. Among them were Jair Brown and Luke Gifford. And there was a third. Was it Robinson?
No, it was Spencer Burford.
Burford. And I think no one is thinking that Burford isn't on this team. But the other two, I think there's been some questions about. I kind of labeled it as Shanahan's, these guys are making the team group. Like, come on, guys. These guys are making the team. Maybe I'm wrong, but it made me really question any guess that Jair Brown doesn't make this team. I don't think you throw him out there as a captain. I just – that's not a Shanahan move. I'm going to cut this guy, so let's make him captain. I saw a bunch of guys taking a picture together. You see that group taking a picture together before the final warmups? And every one of them, I was like, I'm not sure they're going to make this team. Were they? And I was like, were they taking this picture? Like, these are my last days on the NFL. And it was interesting. I'm not going to name them, but it was like every single one of them was like a maybe. And it wasn't just DBs. It was like DBs and offensive linemen and linebackers. I was like, huh, okay. I will not name who they were. Maybe it was just a spur of the moment thing, but it was interesting to watch. As Barros knows, I watch everything like that, try to be careful, like who's out there. Saw Daryl Luter on every single special teams. I think he's making the team. They give you hints with this, with who plays in certainly the front line special teams, and they tend to play the front line special teams throughout preseason because they got to get them the reps, and because you just can't do that stuff in practice. Daryl Luter is on every special teams. Curtis Robinson is on every special teams. Like, these are things Now, the tight ends are interesting because the tight ends play special – backup tight ends play special teams. Sometimes they're out there in preseason and then they get cut. But you see a lot of Brain Willis on special teams. Like, there's some guys I think they just got penciled in that are going to make this team, and where they're telling us by who's on the special teams. So I think we've gone through just about everybody. I will say, as you say this about the injuries, they're all slower. It's like, I know they get a lot of injuries, and that obviously is a terrible thing. They've got to figure out what's doing this. But maybe more to the point, they seem to come back slower than most teams. Like, every injury that they cite is about 2 weeks longer than they say it's going to be. Now, maybe they shouldn't say that there's a timetable, and Shanahan will come back at me. Well, then I'll never say a timeline. But also, that's a timeline that he's been given. So he's got to take some understanding of who's telling me this and why are they always wrong? Because that's what we do anyway, because we're used to it now with the 49ers. They give us a two-week thing. It could be a month. It could be 2 months. They give us a month-long thing. We're thinking 2 months, 3 months. Now, that's because Shanahan is saying it, and he's being told by the medical people. And I know they've changed them recently, so it isn't all the same thing. But there's something there where – they're being told the wrong thing. They're giving themselves the wrong timeline. They're somehow the rehab process isn't good. I think there's something there, and I think that's what they would look at more than anything, because sometimes injuries just happen in waves. It's the recovery time that I think has really been problematic for them, especially this year.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, just go back to the spring when Ricky Pearsall had a hamstring, and the line from Shanahan at that point was, well, you know, he probably could have, taken part in this mini camp in June, but we're not going to push it, implying like, you know, by early June, mid-June, he's going to be fine. Well, he was still coming back from that thing to begin training camp a month and a half later. Yeah, it's almost like Shanahan is giving the media and the public the most optimistic version of the injury to sort of tamp down concern at that point. But you're ending up, you know, hurting yourself on the back end when the guy doesn't come back after a week, when Mykal Williams has been out almost 3 weeks now, when Up and Out's been out almost 3 weeks now. You're right. It's there's some bad messaging going on. I agree with you. The 49ers need to figure that out. I should know you wait before we change subjects. Brayden Willis left the game late with a neck injury. I don't know how severe that is, but that's something to watch as far as the roster. That would mean that Jake Tonjes is probably going to make it if Willis is going to be out for any extended period. And Tonjes would be the third tight end. Those guys were close, in my opinion, so it's not a huge roster issue for week one, but something to monitor.
Yeah, I'll just say I think the injury thing is just falls into my theory of over-optimism. They're just over-optimistic about injured players. So when Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are over-optimistic, or the entire organization is, their medical people might either play into that because they don't want to give Kyle Shanahan bad news. No. But they should give them real news, or the medical people are over-optimistic also. Then maybe that's the problem. Like, they have a bunch of kind of just pass through these guys. Oh, they're fine. We'll bring him in. You know, Javon Kinlaw, you know what? Other teams have red flagged that knee. He's fine. It just kind of, there's a recurring issue here. They are getting players who get hurt. Like, we are watching them get hurt. That is true. I think maybe the larger problem is the entire organization. It just wants to always think on the positive side of this stuff. And yet time after time after time, this is proving out the other way. And you set yourself up for the problem. I, in a lot of ways, believe that you got to prepare for the worst more than you prepare for the best. Because you get prepare for the worst and the better things happen, you're fine, right? You prepare for the best and the bad things happen, you're not prepared. You don't have backups lined up. You're not set up. You're mentally devastated by it. Prepare the other way. And they always seem to err on the side of optimism. Jason Verrett will be just fine after blowing out his knee for the second time in 3 years. We're going to put him as our CB1. Oops, one game, he's out for the year. And they're done at cornerback. It just is I get optimism. I understand optimism. In the NFL, You can't think that way about injuries or else you're going to get burned. And secondly, okay, then 5 years of injuries, you would think they changed this opinion, and it seems like they're not. I think there is just a pervading theme in there of wanting to believe the best possible situation. And that is not the way the NFL works out. And it certainly hasn't been the way that the 49ers have worked out. Jesus, I didn't even realize I was going to go into this, Barros. But
no, it's a wonderful point. It's a theme that explains a lot of things. I agree with you. You should hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Although, if you were realistic about injuries, your conclusion at the beginning of the season was everyone's going to be hurt all the yes. time. Let's not even do this season.
Shut it down.
Most guys do not make it. Most guys. I mean, we're talking only a handful of guys play all 17 games now. We're talking like 3 or 4 players per team play 17 games. So everyone's hurt all the time. This is just an injury league. That's basically the bottom line of football.
And be prepared for it. Be prepared for
it. And we could all die this weekend. I mean, that's the real Kyle Shanahan philosophy.
You should, yeah, well, he's Mr. Pessimism. He's Mr. Dark Cloud. And his team is the one that's always, you know what, they'll be back in 3 practices. They're just
fine. Yeah, it's a week.
All right, man, I might have just talked myself into some larger picture column here, but it's through that Barros poking at things. That's how things work. Barros brings up a point. I think, wait a minute, there's some larger picture stuff going on here. All right, everybody, that is an interesting show. We didn't even talk about Harbaugh. I know I talk about Harbaugh on my podcast. So it was great to see him. Great to see Trey Lance. I did think Trey Lance looked fine. He looked very comfortable and happy in on the field and afterwards. A little guarded. He doesn't love seeing 49er fans, 49er writers in his face after the game, but that's the way life is. And Eric Branch, myself, and Scott Osser and Josh DeBauer are very sunny faces. You'd think he'd be happy to see us. Harbaugh was happy to see us. He was in a good mood, so you can listen.
Harbaugh had some good quotes. He had some Harbaugh-isms.
He was good.
Taking slop and fat part of the bat.
That part of the bat was just awesome. He came out with that one right away about Trey Lance. 25 years old is the fat part of the bat. In quarterbacking and in life, Barros.
Yeah, so, I don't think we're in the fat part.
We are in the fat part. We might be the fat part of something, but it's not the fat part of the bat.
That part of the midsection.
That part of the dinner time. All right. Jesus, what a show. What a show. We're just
comedy, drama, tragedy. We have it all.
We will have a show Tuesday night after the cuts, if there's an emergency podcast. And I suspect there might be cause for it. We shall see. We will do one earlier than that. But as of now, we will plan to do a next show Tuesday night after the cut down to 53. All right, Barros. Talk to you later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.